Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope your week is going well now, and that you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And hey, I'm telling you, today on The Dose, I've got something a little bit different for you. I want you to think about something. Imagine for 1 minute, if this past season in the NFL, the Las Vegas Raiders, the New York Jets, and the Arizona Cardinals all got bumped down to the minor leagues. I think I kind of like that. Imagine in the NBA, if, say, the Washington Wizards and Utah Jazz were no longer allowed in the big leagues, they got bumped down. Imagine in Major League Baseball, if the Minnesota Twins, the Colorado Rockies, the Oakland A's were no longer in the big leagues, they were sent down to play AAA ball. You hear that? I'm going to be honest. It kind of sounds amazing, right? I agree. I wish it would happen. Well, this week's guest actually drilled down on this exact subject, and it actually made for a really interesting story. Right now, let's get over to our interview with author Todd Smith. Joining us this week on The Daily Dose. Hey, I'm telling you, I have got a guest that you are going to want to hear. If you're a fan of maybe like Ted Lasso or Welcome to Wrexham, I have got a book you're going to need to check it out. A book is coming out literally this week. It came out yesterday with the title of Relegated. And it takes you on this hilarious, fascinating journey through the United Kingdom, its football clubs, the rich tradition of English football culture. But Todd Smith is the author of Relegated, and he tells a story. It's got some really, really fun stuff in it. And it talks about the consequences that English football teams face when they underperform. That is something, honestly, I wish we would do here in American sports. But Todd took things one step further. He went and traveled to see what it's like when you get relegated. Todd is joining us today on The Daily Dose. Todd, welcome to The Daily Dose. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, this is awesome. It's a true honor to be here and talk all things relegated in English football, in American sports, and the wild ride that I went on.
It is a wild ride, and I have read your book. I thoroughly am enjoying it. I'm just about done with it. I kind of don't want it to end. I've reached a point now where I'm like, oh, I want to kind of hurry and get it done. And I'm like, wait, take your time, enjoy it, because it's not often that I get a book that I enjoy this much. Todd, just a little background. Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and my dad is a Hall of Fame athletic trainer. And so he was in collegiate sports and pro sports my whole life. So I grew up literally in sports. And my first paying job was as a locker room attendant for the indoor soccer league in Minneapolis. And so I'm tied to all the sports from a very early age. I went to college in Missoula, Montana, at the University of Montana. And afterwards, I decided that I kind of wanted to maybe become a writer. And my good fortune was I had all these sports stories kind of kicking around, you know, in my life. And I decided to put pen to paper and see if I could turn myself into a sports writer. And luckily, I did. But it all starts with my dad introducing me to all the players and the sports and the teams and English football in particular, because my dad was the trainer for the Minnesota Kicks and the Minnesota Strikers. And so that was the beginning of a lot of these stories, whereas in my family's kitchen were all these English or Welsh or Scottish or Irish football players were literally in our family kitchen telling me these wonderful stories that were coming from places that seemed like a fairy tale, right? They had names like Nottingham and Blackpool and Grimsby and stuff like that. And to a young kid in Minneapolis, it seemed like the coolest these dudes were the coolest people I would ever meet. And so that was a big part of this book, Relegated, was it started, you know, back when I was a child. So,
well, and you played a little yourself. You must have been a pretty decent player. You played a little at that next level. What kind of player were you?
I'm a hobbit, basically. I'm very short, but I played with a lot of, my dad would say, piss and vinegar. I was a left-footed left back. I still play. I'm 53. I've toned things down, glad to report. But I played year-round as a kid. I played varsity in high school the whole way. And then I played 1 year in college Division III. And then now I currently play in, I formed my own league called the Donkey Soccer League for basically fat dads. Anybody over 40 is welcome to play. We're no longer thoroughbreds. We are donkeys. You can see the donkey above my shoulder here. And then there's a trophy here of just the horse's ass. Those are the donkey awards. So I do have a very rooted, organic love for the game, just as a player and a fan. So,
now, growing up, obviously, you're a fan of Minnesota sports. You're a fan of your local team. But were you a fan of a Premier League team? Was there a team that you kind of adopted that was kind of your team?
Yeah. My family's team is Wolverhampton, and that's because of one particular player. A gentleman named Mike Bailey, who was the Wolves captain in their heyday. And Mike Bailey was so good and so cool that he was Robert Plant's favorite player when Robert Plant was a kid. So Robert Plant is from the Midlands, which the Wolves are from. And Robert Plant was, he loved Mike Bailey. Well, Mike Bailey played for the Minnesota Kicks, where my dad was the trainer, and my dad and Mike Bailey are best friends. And so Bailey was in my, like, you know, looking back, Bailey was like James Bond to us. He had played in the top English leagues against all the top players. And he was one of those guys that was sitting in our kitchen table. So we became Wolves fans, but Wolves were our yo-yo club, right? They go up and down, up and down. Now, you know, the last 6 years they've been in the Premier League. Guess what? They're going to get relegated in the spring. They have the lowest amount of points, but being a fan of an English football team it's a journey, right? It's not just one season. You ride the relegation and the promotion, but and so Wolves will get relegated, but I mean, I'm obsessed with English football, so I watch all the teams, but so Wolves.
So I'm assuming because of that, because you did have that team that was going up and going down and that is where this whole idea for this story came from, because you experienced it. Your team, hey, I wish we had that here in America. I wish. Yeah. That we had, although I have to say a lot of my Colorado college teams would be relegated down to, I don't know, D2 or something immediately. But I'm assuming that's where this all came from.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Minnesota sports are, you know, for American cities that have the four major men's sports. Our women's team in the Twin Cities, they're awesome. The men are terrible. We have the longest drought of any city that has the four teams without a title. So I started thinking about this book and relegation, and you can correlate it directly to two clubs that I'm a fan of, the Timberwolves and the Twins. The Twins should have been relegated like a decade ago. I mean, even last year, they were the second worst team in the American League. And they had a fire sale at the end of the season. And now record low attendance. They've made beer $2 to bring fans in. But guess what? Nothing happens to the Twins. They will keep losing and nothing really happens to them. And I was thinking about this when you correlate this directly to the English football teams. Wolves, you know, when Wolves get relegated, they're going to lose like $100 million. And those are real stakes for a town like Wolverhampton, where as a Minnesota sports fans, I mean, we've had just decades of dog years. And our club should have been relegated a long time ago. But, you know, they're fighting their way back. But at the same time, a lot of this story is rooted in the fact that I'm from the Twin Cities and watching our teams just every year just bottom out. Or, you know, the ownership does not put any effort into supporting the clubs. And, yeah, it's just one it's embarrassing, really. I mean, yeah. So,
well, and hey, you're speaking to the choir here because I am stuck here in the home where we've got, hey, we've got the Avs and we've got the Nuggets, we've got the Broncos, and yeah. We also have the Colorado Rockies. Same thing. Yeah. The owners don't care. They're not going to invest any money. And why should they? They sell out. They still get plenty of gate. They don't even care that much. I wish they could be relegated. I wish we could get Major League Baseball here in my home state, but unfortunately we can't right now. I understand your feelings there completely. I've got to ask you, and just going into your book a little bit, what the book does, Todd goes and he travels from, hey, some of the biggest cities and the biggest premier clubs and goes to the big stadiums. And he also goes to the little relegated small towns and meets the small fans, plays soccer with them, actually plays with a lot of them, apparently holds his own a little bit. Here's my question to you, because this was a journey. You went everywhere. How in the world did you get your wife to sign off on this? I've got to know.
Yeah. I mean, to be like honest, that was the biggest question.
Oh, I'm genuinely wondering.
100%. That's a legitimate question. I felt like, I can tell you, I felt like Doc Brown, the scientist character in Back to the Future, right? Where I was like, I got an idea. I have no money. I have no agent. I have no book deal. But I want to go travel in the UK for 3 months. And I don't have a book deal to pay for any of it, but I think I'm going to do it. And Sarah, God bless her, I mean, who, by the way, is allergic to sports.
See, that's where it's difficult.
My wife does not, like, even care for the sight of it, the sound of it. She grew up really cool. She didn't have any sports in her household. It was all, like, Velvet Underground and, like, all the things. Grateful Dead, like, all the cool stuff.
Right.
And then she married a Rube who just is infatuated with sports, who grew up eating nachos out of a plastic helmet.
Yep.
Anyways, so I told her that I believed in this idea of this book at this time. I said, I can sell this book and I just need to get over there. Right. And the stories are waiting for someone to go over there. And I think I can do this. I found all these storylines and she signed off on it, but she, you know, under a couple pretenses, she was like, you know, one of them was like, could you wait a year? Because we had a kid going to college and newsflash, college isn't cheap. So we needed to know how much it was, and we don't have any money to begin with. And I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a book deal. But I knew I could – I knew there was some heat behind this because of what you just said, Ted Lasso, Wrexham, relegation promotion. So she gave me a year, and I went to plan for an entire year all these little storylines and all these forgotten places. And I figured out how to get there. And once we were over there, and she traveled with me for an entire month, right? And every day I would go out and do my reporting, and then we would circle back at dinner time, and it was great. But I did sound like a crazy person. I mean, I was ready to give up writing because I was feeling relegated as a worker, as a writer. Yeah. But then this idea came in like a lightning bolt, and that's where the Back to the Future reference comes in. I was like, I got an idea. Listen to me now. Let's do this. And I figured it out, and I did it. And now the book is done. It's coming out soon. And it feels like, did I really do that? Did I really go to all those places? But I was
reading your account of telling your wife, and I just had this image of her just rubbing her eyes going, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wondered how long that lasted.
Yeah. I mean, the best part about it is I got the map of the UK that had all the locations and the names of all the football clubs in England and Scotland. And it's a huge map. And I taped it to the wall that's right over there, to the kitchen wall. And I would just stare at it. And then I would go on this computer and I would look it up on Google. And she knows better than anyone that what it looks like when I lock in to a story, because this is my third book. And so she was very in tune with all of this, but she agreed. She said, this book in particular is the one that's been living inside me, and I need to basically get this out to the people like yourself to read it and your listeners. Because in a lot of ways, you know, we have an MLS team here, and I went to a game and there was 20,000 people there on a beautiful Saturday summer in Minneapolis. And I looked around that stadium and I had that single thought that I would venture to say 75% of the people in that stadium, this trip that I was planning would be their dream trip.
Yeah.
And I just decided to take that trip for all of us, right? I decided to like just go do it for every single working person who dreamt of maybe doing something like this, but maybe doesn't have the means to do it, or doesn't have the schedule, or they have young kids, or their job is too demanding, where I just decided to just roll with it and take this trip for everybody. And I'm so happy to be sharing it with the world, because my life story is it's a good example of a lot of working people, because I work full time and I write books as a side job. And so I'm no different than you or any of your listeners. I just figured out a way to fund this whole thing. So there you go.
Well, and I'm so glad that you did, because not only does the story give you this insight as to these different towns and these different people, you've got a lot of personal interest stories where you're going, holy cow, like there's some touching moments in the book. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by dailydosesports.com every single week to see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to podcasts. We have links to new articles. We have links to videos. We have links to Daily Dose gear. Also, remember, you can always email the podcast at dailydosesports@gmail.com. We hear from listeners regularly, and it is always good to hear from you. So make sure you drop us a line if you've got a question, a comment, or a concern. We would love to hear what you have to say. Now, let's get back to our interview with author Todd Smith. It is phenomenally done. Okay, I've got to ask you a few questions. We're going to kind of go rapid fire here. Yeah. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Favorite stadium that you visited? It could be one of the big dogs. It could be one of the little tiny ones. Was there a stadium that you went to that you're just like, no, that spot was amazing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, because some of the grounds are like cathedrals, right? They're like steel trusses and they're hundreds of years old. in the app. Everybody's crammed in. Very spiritual, very religious vibes.
Yep.
Mass, you know, like all the rituals, all of that stuff. Yeah, I got to tell you that, you know, the Americanization or the NFL experience is now going abroad. So some of those big stadiums, you know, the atmosphere is okay, but the stadiums look like any sort of NFL stadium. But there was one particular stadium, which is known as Craven Cottage, that is in West London where Fulham plays. And I was in the away end at Fulham with the Everton supporters. And it was like a Monday night. It was a night game, so the lights were on. And Craven Cottage has one stand that is a historical building. And I was facing it, right? And that one was as close to like a religious experience that I've had at a sporting event. And in fact, that's where I had my epiphany. I had a turning point at that stadium where something fundamentally in me changed as a football fan.
Yeah.
And it happened largely because of the stadium. So I would say Craven Cottage in West London for sure.
You discuss a little bit about some of the food that you have. You talk about the meat pies. You talk about the cider that you drank. Yeah. Give me the best one. What's the best? What was the food that you went out and were like, hey, I would do that again?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really obscure, but that's how the book happens because I was organically going into all these little places, but I'm not going to give it too much away because I don't think you've got
totally
to that
fine.
Part yet.
Totally fine.
But I was on an island in Scotland in a pub on an island with Celtic supporters. And in the pub, there was a kitchen and there was about 100 Celtic supporters that and they were playing there. The longtime rival, which is Rangers, right? Okay. So the Celtic Rangers is one of the most heated rivalries in all of sports. And they were playing each other. And I was in the pub with the Irish and the Catholics. And I went in there and this pub had a kitchen and there was a bunch of old ladies in the kitchen making hand pies. And a lady came up to me and she said, "Todd from America, would you like a meat pie?"
Which, by the way, is your name throughout the book, Todd from America. I love it.
Yeah. So I just was like, of course. I didn't know what was in it. And I just like, when you're on a Scottish island and somebody says, eat a meat pie, you just eat the meat pie. So I ate it and it was haggis, which I've never had, but it was in a pie form. And my God, it was like it hit me and I thought, wow, this is like the ending of the book, right? This is like the ending of the journey. In so many ways, that I journeyed for 3 months through the UK to finally meet this meat pie, and God, it was so good.
Okay, but you got to flip it. What was the worst? Because I know you had to have some bad stuff.
Oh my God! I mean, full honesty. I mean, I have Crohn's disease, and so I haven't like really drank alcohol for like over 20 years.
Okay,
and it's not because I have sobriety issues; it's because I have Crohn's disease, and I just kind of had to eliminate that. But I got myself into some pretty tough situations where, as a reporter, if I was in certain tough parts of town, if I said, you know, like, oh, can I get a tea or whatever? Like, I'm gluten-free, you know, it would just like kind of change things. So I was in a place called Grimsby, and these two lovely blokes were just feeding me pints in the fan zone, and I was just hammering them because why wouldn't you? in a place like Grimsby. And I was toned up. And then afterwards, we went for fish and chips, which, again, I have Crohn's disease. So a giant platter of deep fried fish with the chips and the peas and the brown gravy. And I just housed it again, because why wouldn't you?
Went in Rome.
And then they dropped me off in Grimsby at my Airbnb. And man, I had the roughest night I've had in 20 years because of that. And it's such a great scene in the book because, yes. It was just one of those things where I was so wrecked the next day, where I had to find Pedialyte. And I was just guzzling Pedialyte on a train back to from Grimsby to Liverpool. And I had a train layover in some place called Doncaster. And I was just like, I thought I was going to die. This was like my Vietnam, but my internal organs Vietnam. Sure. But that was terrible. But I did it. And as a writer, you know, I mean, you're a journalist. Like, the worse it is, sometimes the better the story. And
Case. No, you're kind of rooting for the best story. You're not always rooting for your team or your, you know, whatever. You're rooting for the best story, which changes things. Yeah. It absolutely does. Yeah. Was there anywhere that you weren't well received for being an American? Because, like I said, your name over there was Todd from America. Was there anywhere that was like, it seemed like everybody was very friendly from what I've read.
Yeah, everybody was. I mean, you're right. I mean, I went in some pretty tough spots. I mean, Grimsby was like, I mean, I've lived in New York City in the 90s. I've lived in Los Angeles in the 90s. And working in, you know, Harlem and East LA and stuff. And I was like, how bad could Grimsby be? It was terrible.
Pretty bad.
But East London, just gangster town. And keep in mind, I was out at these places at night alone, talking to people that, you know, like out on the streets and stuff. But the Todd from America thing really was kind of like, I could break people down that way really easy. I could say, I admit to my idiocy, and I'm kind of a fumbling idiot. Like, if somebody was going to play Todd from America in the film rights to Relegated, my first pick is Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, that's me.
It's a great pick.
To a T.
Look at that door, dude. See that door right there? One marked pirate. You think a pirate lives in there? I see a door marked private. Is that the door you're talking about?
No, I was talking.
Yep.
I didn't say. What did you hear?
But the Todd from America was like, I could break people down that way just to say, I'm a normal person. I've never been here. Like, where should I go for a meat? Like, where's your favorite place to get a meat pie? And they would really like say, everybody went out of their way to help me because I was helpless, right? But I can tell you that every person I met wanted to talk about Trump, and I didn't know like how to kind of play that. And I didn't want to get into politics at all, whether you support Trump or you don't support Trump. That wasn't like, I didn't care.
You're shooting for the story.
Yeah. And they had so many questions about like what is going on, because from them, like from where they're looking at, like, it looks crazy. And so, and I wasn't from a well-known place. I was from, you know, Minnesota, which they don't know. And so it was very kind of an easy conversation, but they really like had a lot of questions about Trump. And I would just kind of veer off and talk more largely about the country as a whole. I can tell you that there was a few hard individuals that were, you know, we're talking hooligans, like from the height of the hooliganism. And there's not a lot of hooliganism anymore per se, but the people who participated are still out there.
Sure.
And I met them, and that was really tricky. And I would say I'm Todd from America, but I know a lot about football and I know a lot about English football. And so it was a very nice conversation about football. And so I realized that both Todd from America and the language of football, I can meet anyone in the world. And you could say, who do you support? And all the barriers are gone. And then you can have a conversation. And so that part was actually quite enjoyable to meet people on a Scottish island or in East London, super gritty, or the Cotswolds, which is like Downton Abbey, lovely, rolling, very wealthy. You know, or a northern city, really industrial and gritty. And the language of football, there's no other sport in the world that can break things down, can break the barriers down quite like football. So as an American, yeah, it was hard. And also once you said like, oh, I've been to Grimsby, I've been to Stockport, I've been to East London. Then they're like, oh, okay. You know, like you kind of know what you're talking about. Yeah. So that's a great question though.
I know, as you know, coaching, and you know, when I was still coaching, you kind of travel, you go to these different colleges, you go to these different towns, you go to these different cities, whatever. You're a Wolverhampton fan. You're a Minnesota sports fan. I would imagine though, you kind of saw some teams or some fans or the environment, and we're like, you know what? They're not my team, but I'm going to kind of adopt them a little bit, because how can you not? I would imagine you had to have that. Who did it for you?
Yeah. I mean, those teams in the lower leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, I will always tell people that if they're going to go over there to see a Premier League game, 100%. Everyone should see a Premier League game, because it's the best league in the world with the best players, the best teams, the whole thing. And it is dazzling to see it live. But when you go to the lower leagues, you realize that the lower leagues are just as good. I mean, the talent's a little lower, but even League Two is amazing, and the experiences are so much richer because it is these little towns, and sometimes that's the only team they have, and the team is the town. Like, if the team wasn't there, no one would ever go to Wolverhampton, right? But there was one place in particular that kind of won my heart. And then I was like, oh, I'm now a Stockport County fan.
Okay.
Because Stockport is an industrial city just south of Manchester. And so they're like a runty little brother to the big city of Manchester that has Manchester United and Manchester City, two of the biggest clubs in world football. They have always, for decades, on Stockport, right? Because it's this runty little place. And forever it was. It was one of the worst industrial places in the Industrial Revolution. But they have a team, Stockport County, where I embedded myself with a group of lifelong Stockport County supporters. And the president of Stockport County Supporters Club. So okay. This guy is the president of all the fans that support the club. And he took me in, and they took me to a pub, the Ye Olde Vic. And then we went from there to the game. And we sat in the Cheetah End, which is all the drumming and singing. And then after that, we went to the Magnet, which was a former coach house from like 800 years ago. And in the course of that experience, I get to know these guys. And Dave, the president, he told me that his dad is buried behind the goal at Stockport County. And he's literally, they dug a hole behind the goal and they buried his dad's ashes. And that was like, I mean, how can you not love that? And Stockport County just became kind of my like lower league club. And yeah. So, it's Stockport County, but I left my heart in all these places. There's a lot of touching moments in a lot of these places because it was just wonderful. It was just amazing to experience it all, but Stockport, like for sure.
That's a great answer. Hey, we've got it here. Relegated, my pints and pies journey from the top to the bottom of English football by Todd Smith. Todd, where can people find your work? The book is being released. I believe it came out yesterday, but where is there? Is it, do you have a website? Go to Amazon. What's the best place that they can find your work?
Yeah, you can find it at toddsmithauthor.com. It's published by Simon & Schuster, so it has a really big release. So you're talking Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all your independent bookstores will have it. You'll be able to find it everywhere. Simon Schuster is so great to work with. They're one of the premier, if not the premier, publishers in America. I will tell you and all your listeners that on toddsmithauthor.com, there's a gallery of all the photos, and they're organized by chapter. And so when you read the chapter, you can go to my website and look at exactly what I was writing about, and it will take you through the map as you read it. Then you can see the photos, and it's, you know, a lot of those places, right? You're like, did that really happen? And then you go look at the photo and you're like, oh, there's the meat pie. There's the bovril. There's the beef. There's the beef tea. Yeah. So there you go.
That is outstanding. Todd, I cannot thank you enough. Relegated, I'm telling you, I'm reading it. I'm giving you firsthand. This is an absolutely phenomenal read. Perfect for a summer read if you want to pick it up, because you are going to be entertained nonstop. There are so many great little stories about little towns and people that are so passionate about sports. And, you know, Todd mentioned it just a minute ago. Sports somehow unites people, everything else aside. Politics aside, religion aside, all that stuff, sports somehow brings us together. And I absolutely love it for that. But Todd, I cannot thank you enough for stopping by the Daily Dose. Hey, here's my final question. I'm gonna finish it up with this. What's next? What do you got going? Do you have something else in mind? Are you working on something else? What else is coming?
You know, I mean, to be honest, I want to write a sequel to this. I want this book, Relegated, to do really well so I can write a sequel called Promoted, right? I mean, that's the other side of this coin. And I've already mapped my route. I've already found the places I want to go. And I want to do this again. And I want to branch it off into not UK, just UK football, but world football. And take a bigger leap into more obscure places, but with the same tone, right? This book is about hope. It's about those that are down that can rise, and for Relegated and Promoted. So that's what I'm working on right now. But it needs to sell for me to do that. So that's kind of what I'm working on now. So thank you for asking.
That is excellent work. Like I said, Relegated, you will not regret picking it up. It is a phenomenal read. Todd, I want to thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose. I genuinely enjoyed our visit. Hoping you'll come back by again, and I cannot wait for the next one.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a true honor. And if you want to talk about Timberwolves versus the Nuggets off air,
absolutely,
at a later date, we can do that too. So thank you so much for having me. True honor.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will get back to our regular format and we'll be catching you up on all that is going on in the world of sports. So be sure you check out The Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to author Todd Smith for stopping by The Daily Dose. I enjoyed our conversation. I hope you'll stop by again. Hey, I encourage you all, go pick up Relegated anywhere fine books are sold. You will be entertained. It is an absolutely great story and really, really well done. But I also want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Look at that door, dude. See that door right there? One marked pirate. You think a pirate lives in there?
I see a door marked private. Is that the door you're talking about?
No, I was talking
to... Yep.
I didn't say... No, did you? What did you hear?